Mark 5, verse 25, everybody have it, say amen.
Amen.
And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment.
Yeah.
For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague.
Yeah.
And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise God. They're going to bless the shofar. So we need you to honor God and give him a shout of praise for his word today. Come on, let's bless him in this section.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Come on, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Hallelujah, all of them have in me.
Yes.
His holy name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Praise God in the highest. Amen, amen. You may be seated this morning. If the Lord will allow me, I want to minister on this thought. You are seen. Amen, you are seen. Look at your neighbor and remind them you are seen. Amen, praise God. This account of a woman with the issue of blood, again, very familiar to most everybody. We find this in Mark chapter 5 that we just read, but also in another gospel, the Gospel of Luke in chapter 8. Both of Mark and Luke have different details. Amen. Mark wasn't a physician like Luke was, so Luke's account gives us a little bit more detail or different than Mark's account of this event. Amen. But Luke noted that she had spent all of her money, amen, the same as Mark did. Mark and Luke both said that she had spent all of her money, amen. So we understand that she had this issue of blood or a hemorrhaging problem. She hemorrhaged for 12 years, and she had spent everything that she had, all of her money, all of her life savings, whatever she had, amen. Praise God. They both tell us that she spent all of her money trying to get better. She spent all of that on doctors. But Mark tells us, amen, that she suffered at the hands of the physician as well as spent the money. Amen. So this brings us just a little bit more perspective, amen, that she suffered, amen, at the hands of the doctor. So it wasn't just that she suffered, amen, with this infirmity, with this plague, with this disease, this issue of blood, but also the help she was trying to get increased her suffering. She suffered at their hands, and I believe that there were probably some quacks, amen, probably some that promised her healing and help, amen, and she did not get that, amen, praise God. So she suffered, amen, immensely, but one common detail in both accounts in Mark and Luke is how she approached Jesus. Amen. This is the one detail that is common in both of these Gospels. Amen. We see that as she approached Jesus, she was intentionally quiet and reserved. She purposely was quiet. Amen. She didn't say a word. She didn't come forward and try to get his attention. She didn't speak or ask for permission to approach Jesus. Amen. How she approached him was very intentionally quiet and reserved. Matter of fact, she came from behind and only touched the border of Jesus's garment. So she did not even make herself known in the crowd. Amen. So she seemingly expected nothing more than to leave leave unnoticed. We can speculate by how she approached Jesus. Amen. That she had all intentions. There was no more expectation in her other than she was going to leave that place unnoticed. See, her goal was not public faith, but was simply hidden relief. Her goal wasn't for her to be made a spectacle or for her to make herself known or to make it known, amen, that she believed in this Jesus that the crowd was pressing about, amen, but she just wanted that hidden relief. Have you ever just wanted relief? Have you ever just been in a place, been under pressure, been sick, amen, been dealing with life, been dealing with circumstances, amen, dealing with people, dealing with financial issues, dealing with emotional issues, dealing with things in your mind, in your spiritual state, and you just wanted relief. You didn't want anybody to call you out or prophesy or give you a word. You weren't looking for God to recognize you and to honor you in front of everyone. You simply just said, God, I need some relief. It's been a long enough. Amen. This is where this woman was at. Stay with me for just a few minutes. She hemorrhaged for 12 years. Listen, folks, that's a long time. That's a long time for her to have this infirmity. And we understand that this would have been considered a chronic medical condition. Amen. To the place where there was probably no solution or nothing that could be offered that would give her, amen, any kind of healing, let alone relief. Are you with me? In other words, she was going to have to cope with this for the rest of her life. This would be the mindset. This would be the consensus. When she had spent everything on all the physicians and she had not got better, but she had suffered at the hands of these physicians, this would have been, in our time now, a chronic medical condition, meaning she's not going to get better, but worsening each year, amen, eventually becoming debilitating. So she did not expect to get any better. Are you hearing me? She only expected to get worse. The mindset of this woman, who is unnamed in the scriptures, would have been nothing's going to change. This is not going to get any better. Matter of fact, it's going to get worse. I can imagine her day by day, week by week, month after month, year after year, amen, feeling the weakness in her body, amen, feeling the physical effects, to where there were probably some days that she could not get up out of bed. There were days that she just did not feel like putting on any clothes. There were days that she just probably didn't feel like eating anything or drinking anything. Amen. Then you throw in the emotional state of her mind. Amen. You add that into her physical condition. Amen. This is going to be a recipe. Amen. For something potentially very toxic. Are you with me? Hallelujah. But we find that in, amen, her spirit, somewhere in her spirit, she still had faith enough to believe that this Jesus that she had heard, that was a healer, that called himself the Son of God, this Jesus, amen, that had the potential to open blinded eyes, amen, to heal the sick, to release the captives, to bring deliverance to the oppressed, and even raise the dead. Maybe there's something in him, hallelujah, that can give me relief. I'm not even sure, hallelujah, the extent of the relief that she expected. But we got to understand that this would have put her in a debilitating condition. Are you with me today? After spending all of that money on doctors, Now she found no healing. This was a long, expensive, exhausting, and humiliating season in her life. Can I get a witness in this house? Amen. This season that she had been in 12 long years, exhausting, hallelujah, humiliating, praise God, to say the least, hallelujah, and all of these things, let alone, amen, expense of spending everything that she had. Can you imagine waking up and somebody, amen, sending word, there's a doctor that says he's got a cure, he can bring healing to your infirmity, but she had no money left. She had spent everything that she had. And so it wouldn't matter if he had a remedy or not. She couldn't afford to go with him. Can I tell you, sometimes God will push us up against the wall. Well, let me rephrase that. Will allow us to get our backs against the wall to where we have nothing left other than our faith and to trust and to believe him. Are you with me today? Hallelujah. Praise God. And so her body had failed her for 12 long years. Her body failed her. The heavier fact of her condition was not only physical, though, because see, it carried over into something else. So it wasn't only all of these physical things that took place in her body and her mind, hallelujah, but the Levitical law, hallelujah, said that she was a woman of continuous bleeding, and a woman of continuous bleeding was considered ceremoniously unclean. So now this is not just a physical condition. Are you with me? Now it becomes a spiritual condition. Because anyone who touches her became unclean until that evening. So anyone that touched her, if you touched her or made contact with her, amen, at 6 a.m., you would not, amen, you would be considered unclean. You would have to pull yourself out of society, take yourself away from people, amen, and seclude yourself until 6 p.m., amen, that evening. And so no matter what time of the day, amen, you would be considered unclean until the evening. That's a lot of pressure to be on one woman. Are you with me? Hallelujah. So now we've got 12 years not only of bleeding, amen, and hemorrhaging constantly, and exhaustion, amen, and sickness, and being broke, and spending all that she had, but now we have 12 years of religious exclusion, social distancing, and amen, quiet shame. Praise God. I can imagine that she probably didn't speak to very many people. What good is it to speak to anyone if you can't come in contact with them? Amen. Praise God. And we understand that after 12 years, she would have been recognized as this woman who, amen, has this infirmity, who has this disease. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm reminding you of this for a reason, this religious exclusion. So she couldn't go to church, if I can say it like that. She couldn't participate in the corporate worship. She could not, amen, go out in public. It was social distancing before 2020. Amen. It was social distancing in, amen, a greater sense. Hey, praise God. And that quiet shame that she dealt with. Can you imagine what with the conversations that she had in her mind? I talk to myself a lot, and I know you do too. You may not talk out loud, but you talk in your head. You know you do. You're talking, you have conversations with yourself, but I oftentimes speak it out loud. I talk out loud, amen, not just in my head. Praise God. And I've told you that before, and I catch myself. Amen. I had to apologize to somebody yesterday at work. I'm sorry, I'm talking to myself. Praise God. I'm going like, what? I'm like, nope, talking to myself. Sorry. Just trying to have a conversation to keep me, amen, my mind level and set. Praise God. But can you imagine the conversations that went on in her mind of how hopeless, amen, that she felt? And you know that the enemy of her soul, amen, the common enemy that we all have, praise God, the adversary, you know that he took advantage of her condition. Amen. You know, praise God, can you imagine what he said to her when she resolved in her mind? Because the Bible says she said, I don't believe that she said that to a person, but I believe that she said to herself, look, if I can just touch the border of his garment, I believe that I will be made whole. Hallelujah. Praise God. Can you imagine the comeback that demonic entity, amen, I had on her? You better not go in that crowd. You know that you are unclean, but if you go in that crowd, you're going to touch Jesus. See, that demon's going to agree. He's the Son of God. He is one that claims to be the healer. He claims to be the Messiah. You don't want to touch him because you'll make him unclean and he'll have to go seclude himself. And what's that going to do to him? Can you hear me? Amen. Praise God. But she said to herself, hallelujah, what have I got to lose? Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Praise God. So imagine the conversations that went on in her mind every day about how useless she was, how unworthy she was, about how dejected and rejected and cast aside that she was, about how painful, amen. We're not even going to talk about the pain that she probably experienced, physical pain, not being able, seeing everybody going to synagogue on the Shabbat, amen, and then watching them come back and longing to be. See, I believe she was a true worshiper because of how she responded to Jesus and wanting to say, oh, I remember the day when I could go in the synagogue and I could worship and I could honor God. I long to be in that place where I can lift my hands and I can, amen, hear them to recite the psalms and hear the word that she had to watch everybody else receive. So imagine what went on in her mind. Amen. Praise God. Because 12 years of that, she learned to live as someone not to be seen. Come on, do you hear me? She learned to live as someone not to be seen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so now, hallelujah, we understand that her presence disrupted purity. Her touch caused division. Are you hearing me? Amen. Her life for 12 years taught her to stay small, to stay low, and to stay unnoticed. Amen. That life that she had lived for 12 years, this reveals why she chose her approach to Jesus. She chose to not make it known. She chose not to ask a question. She chose not to speak up, not to come forward. She chose to come behind, amen, him. Praise God. Why didn't she come to Jesus openly? Hallelujah, because open presence had never been safe for her. Hallelujah. It just was not an option. Are you hearing me? I come today to tell somebody in this house that the Holy Ghost is about to change your options. I feel that in my spirit this morning. Dead things come to life. Dead things come alive. In the name of Jesus, chains break. Dry bones wake. Hallelujah. Every time I call the name of Jesus, I feel in the preacher. I'm trying to lay a foundation, but I want you to hear me today. Open presence had never been safe for her before. Why didn't she call out? Because attention only brought her loss for the past 12 years. I don't know. I think maybe in my desperation, thinking, what have I got to lose? I might have said, hey, Jesus. Or said, hey, excuse me. let me through. Are you hearing me? I'm dying anyway. Go home for the evening. I don't care. I need healing. I need relief. Are you hearing me? Amen. But attention only brought her loss. Her faith was even cautious. She had faith, but she was cautious because she said to herself, if I touch even his garments, I'll be healed. I want us to think about that for a minute. Not if he speaks to me or if he looks at me. Come on, somebody. Because, you know, we can get to the place where the enemy will convince us because we're not getting a personal word every now and then from God. Or because the preacher looked at everybody else when he was preaching, but he didn't look at me. Come on. Come on. That feeling of being unnoticed. The feeling of being isolated is a real thing. She didn't say, if he speaks to me, I'm gonna go and I'll stand. And if he addresses me, or if he looks at me, then I'll move forward. So her faith was even cautious. She said, if I just touch even the border of his garments. We know that to be the ZZ. On the edge of his garment. If I could just make contact, that's enough to be healed. That was her faith. If I can just make contact. And then she was ready to disappear again. She was touching and ready to back out, leave the crowd, and be content with disappearing and going right back. The Bible says her miracle happened immediately. See, so there had to be something in her physical body that was going on that was an indicator of this problem. Come on. Are you hearing me? Because she said she felt the change. Woo, somebody help me. I'm praying for somebody today to leave this place feeling the difference. Come on. I'm not talking about going on feelings. I'm talking about when you leave this place, you know that somebody, amen, touched you. Come on. Somebody recognized you in your condition. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise God. The bleeding stopped. Something changed in her body. So there was already physical evidence. So she was content to just back out. Amen. Some picture her as crawling into the crowd. You know, it's been preached so many different ways. Amen. And I don't really think that is the issue here. No pun intended. Amen. We know what the issue was, but it doesn't matter. Matters not. Amen. How she made her way through the crowd. Amen. But she wanted to touch his garments, and then she was ready to back out of the crowd and leave unnoticed. She was so used to not being seen. She was so used to not having the attention. Hallelujah. And so she already had the physical evidence. But can I tell you that Jesus did not allow that moment to go by unnoticed, nor did he allow it to be quiet. Ah, somebody better help me in this place. Amen. Because there was something greater that God had planned. There was something greater that God had planned for this unnamed woman, because Jesus was either in motion or he was talking. I believe that he was in motion. I believe, based on the translation in the Greek of the crowd and the press, that they were moving, that there was movement, that Jesus was walking and they were pressing to stay with him. But when she touched his garment and was ready to back out and felt that Jesus stopped, he quit moving and he said, "Who touched me?" Immediately fear began to rise up in her mind. Now think of this, 12 years she suffered, and that quick she forgot about this miracle, that she got what she came for and became afraid. Oh, somebody better hear me in this place. Fear was going to try and, amen, take away her joy, and she began to tremble. She began to quake and shake. Amen, so much fear. Like, oh my gosh, this is what I knew that was going to happen. The devil said, I don't know if she called him the devil, if they even recognized what it was. But amen, the opposition, I told myself that this was going to happen. Why did I do this? Why did I let myself get here? Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. He said, "Who touched me?" And his disciples said, "Sir, Master, Rabbi, Rabboni, hello, there's just a bunch of people that are pressing in and around you. What do you mean, who touched you? Take your pick." He said, "No. I felt the virtue." And I love that that word virtue is translated into the Greek as dunamis. And dunamis is resurrection power. Somebody help me. Hallelujah. He didn't just feel the strength. See, I was always taught that that was the strength, that he felt the strength leave his body. Hallelujah. But he felt that rest. Somebody touched, hallelujah, into that reservoir of living water. Somebody got down deep in the hill. He was more than just a rabbi, to more than just a teacher, more than just one that come to teach and preach this word that had never been heard before. But somebody touched the very purpose that the Father set him for. Somebody hear me today. I want to challenge somebody, get past all the religious stuff, get past all of the opinions, get past all of the social media rhetoric, get down and touch him for who he was sent to be. Somebody help me. He ain't some little statue sitting up on a picture. He ain't some thing dangling from the rear view mirror. He ain't a t-shirt. Amen. He ain't, praise God, one who gives you a career. But he is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. He is that living water. Like, no.
Thank you, Lord.
Somebody tapped into the resurrection power. Then she knew she was faced right then. Listen. He knew the power had gone out of him, right? Don't think that Jesus was searching for information that he didn't already have. I said he wasn't searching for information that he didn't already have. He could have turned and pointed her out. Jesus was creating space. I've come to tell somebody that the Word and the Holy Ghost have come today to make space for you to have a breakthrough. Oh God, hallelujah. I know that sounds cliche, but I feel that in the Holy Ghost this morning. Hallelujah. He is stopping right where you are today. Hallelujah. He wasn't searching for information. Hallelujah. That he didn't already have. He was creating space. He was giving room. Hallelujah. For the glory of the Lord to be manifested. And even though she was full of fear and she was trembling, the Bible says that she came forward. Hallelujah. But she was trembling. She didn't come forward with joy over her healing. She didn't say, oh, it was me. Can I tell you what happened? Can I tell you why I came? But she came forward, trembling, full of fear, and said, and went down on her knees and said, it was me. Here's what I need somebody to get a hold of today. She was honest with Jesus. Get honest today. Come on. Some of you will get back, some of you won't, because it's not meant for all of you. But I hear the Holy Ghost saying, get honest with Jesus today. She was honest with him. She could have just... She said, it was me with fear and trembling. But see, what happened in the next moment is what really matters. Think of it. See, in her mind, when he said, she could have perceived it as, who touched me? Instead of, who touched me? She was behind it. Come on, he stopped. She could have thought, all right, I'm in trouble now. Come on. You know, it only takes about 10 seconds for something to run through your mind. Right, you say, Mom, here we go. Do you remember, if any of you ever got whooped by your parents?
Yes.
Some of you youngins probably ain't been there. But how many remember? My mom had this leather strap thing. I promise it didn't have a buckle on it. I don't know if it used to be a belt or what. But I promise you, we could hide that thing and she would find it every time. I'm serious. I've told you before, listen, if my mom promised you a whooping, she was going to follow through. If it was hours later, I can't tell you the times that we were outside playing and we were fighting and we come running in and she was on the phone. She was always on the phone. She's like, yep. I'll get up when I get off this stuff. So we can run back out. Stay out till dark. You know, we weren't allowed to come in the house. There she is standing at the door with her leather strap. When we walk in, I told you I was going to look good. And she looked.
Yep.
But how'd you find that? Don't think I don't know where it is. I promise, I'm not exaggerating, I'm making it up. And my point was, as you're walking in the door and you catch that flash of that strap and her standing there, that look on her face, 10 seconds is like, that's it. Life is over. It's going to hurt. Right? But she made it count. And if you ran like I did, you got double. I would often get on my hands and knees and crawl and get up under the table and crawl around. So like, I catch you, you're going to get it worse. She did. Sandy was the only one that would stand like this and take it. Sandy would just put her leg up and take it. The rest of us sitting. But imagine in 3 seconds what the enemy said to her. You've done it now. You've seen the last of your, what good did it get you here? You're about to get in trouble. You done touched. Right? She was ready, I believe. But she was rebuked for touching him while she was unclean, which was lawfully taboo, right? By law. And Jesus followed the law. Are you hearing me?
She must have been touching him while she was unclean. Jesus didn't correct her method or her approach. He didn't do any of the things that I'm sure within the few seconds she expected. He didn't call out for who touched him to shame her. Come on, somebody. Some folks are so used to shame that it becomes a defense mechanism. To where if they don't feel the shame, they look for a reason to feel it. Come on. Because that is what they're accustomed to. But he didn't call out, "Who touched me?" to shame her. But it was because he didn't want her healing and restoration to be anonymous. He wasn't going to let her leave without everybody in that crowd knowing what God had done in her. Are you hearing me? He spoke to her publicly and personally. And when she came to him shaking and full of fear and said, "It was me," he said, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole." That word, daughter. See, I've often wondered, she's unnamed, and you know he knew her name. I believe that. He knew her given name, her birth name, but he said daughter. He used that word, daughter. This is the only time Jesus uses it in the Gospels in this context. Any other time he uses the word daughter, it's talking about a daughter or someone's daughter. This is the only time he referred to a woman as daughter. He said, "Daughter, thy faith has made you whole." He didn't call her by her condition. "Aren't you that unclean woman? Listen, I am not a sinner saved by grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I'm not sinless, but I am not a sinner. Come on, somebody, are you hearing me? I've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed from my past." Hallelujah. Praise God. If you've been delivered from addiction, you're not an addict. Right. Come on, somebody. You are not an addict. If you've been delivered from depression, you are not a depressed person. Are you hearing me? Are you understanding me today? Praise God. Come on. He did not identify her. Hallelujah. By her condition. Hallelujah. Amen. He spoke to her publicly. He said, "Go in peace and be healed of your disease." He named her by her place that she had forgotten she came from. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? He said, "Go in peace." Come on, somebody. Peace. That peace that passes all understanding. Because she didn't have peace. Because she was ready to back out of there. Come on, somebody. Are you hearing me? He didn't call her by her condition, but he called her by that place. Amen. That position that she had forgotten. You are somebody's daughter. Furthermore, you are a daughter of God. I have been sent by the Father, and you are his daughter. Somebody values you. Somebody treasures you. Somebody loves you beyond your condition. I know that sounds cliche, and it's been overused and misused and abused over the past couple of decades, but I'm only bringing you what the Holy Ghost has laid on my heart today. I don't know who he sent here that needs to make space for Jesus, but get ready. If you'll get ready, hallelujah, and make space, God's going to give you a man a visitation. He said, go in peace and be healed of your disease. He restored her identity, and he made sure that he did it before all of those witnesses. So don't none of you be talking about who she used to be. Don't none of you go away from here and say she's still unclean. Oh, who's going to take her word for it? Are you hearing me? Don't none of you go and accuse her. But this, my daughter has been made whole. My God, somebody help me in this place. Society had learned to associate her with impurity, but Jesus spoke a new class over her. You've done graduated and been promoted. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me today? The healing had already occurred quietly. Think about that. The healing had already happened before Jesus spoke. He just needed to give her peace and to assure her that your faith to touch me has made you whole. You have been, can you imagine hearing the words, you have been healed of your disease after 12 years of, I don't even come close to describing her condition. After 12 years of that and hearing those words, the healing had already happened quietly, but the restoration wasn't complete until she was seen, till she was named, and she was affirmed. The restoration wasn't complete. So theologically speaking, this reveals something. He wants his bottle. And it's a pacifier. It's not a bottle. That's what he calls his bottle. A wawa. Getting wawa. Drink that living water. Theologically speaking, Jesus doesn't only remove illness, but he reverses exclusion and restores identity. I don't know who this is for today, but I feel this in me. When we started singing this morning, and I got a confession, I don't like singing that first song that we sang. Not that I don't like the song, I don't like singing it. I probably said 3 or 4 times this morning, I hate singing this song. I did. Hate's a strong word, you know, that you say it too. You hate snow, you hate the cold, you hate broccoli, you hate when somebody cuts you off, you hate that shit. Come on, you understand what I'm saying? So don't come at me. I feel it. And I said, just before we sang it, people, I said, I hate singing that song. The bands were saying that. Something rose up in me. We started saying dead things come alive. And I started saying, I found my freedom in the name of Jesus. I've been not convicted. I'll never say that again. And of course, the team will hold me accountable. I begin feeling that. Something in me began to rise up from the beginning. I don't know who's here today, but the Lord has come to reverse some things in your spirit. Listen, had the miracle remained anonymous, she would have been healed, but still healed. I told you before, I do not like being, I don't like attention. I don't like being in the center of attention. I don't like being in front of everybody. I just don't. I had my choice, and when I can't choose it, I do. When I can choose it, I'm out. And I'll say back when I have anything to say about it. But she was ready to take her healing and stay hidden. But God said, people see, need to know she's clean. People now knew she was clean. People now knew. Hallelujah. See, she might have still believed. Who knows? She might have still believed she had to stay quiet. She would have had to, she would have had to prove somehow that she was healed, that she was clean. Are you hearing me? Now, Jesus made sure that everybody there knew she was clean. Jesus pulled her back to community, back to worship, and back to visibility. He's going to pull somebody back today. I feel that in this place. He's wanting to pull somebody back. Hallelujah. This is not saying you're lost or you're messed up or you just, there's just, you, God's about to tell you, you are seen today. When you walked in this sanctuary, you didn't know it, but the Holy Spirit saw you. God saw you before you walked in this sanctuary. Are you hearing me? He don't want you backing out of here today after this service, still feeling excluded and still feeling, amen, hallelujah, hidden and not seen and not recognized, even, amen, that place that she felt. He doesn't want you backing out of here today feeling that. He wants you to leave this place in peace and to know that not only are you healed, but he has given you restoration, back to worship, back to community. The enemy wants to, amen, get us to seclude ourselves. Listen, this fussing that's going on social media, people debating, Christians arguing and debating, amen, foolery over temporal things. Things have meaning, don't take me wrong, and there's places and times, but when we spend all of our energy and all of our focus on things that are going to pass away, hallelujah, and we lose our eternal purpose, hallelujah, in the meantime, there's pastors that have felt like, amen, they have no reason to live, and they're taking their lives. Meanwhile, there's a man who goes into Olive Garden and goes, runs into the back of the kitchen, strips his clothes off, and before they can stop him, he throws his face in the deep fryer because he feels like there's no other reason to live. Call it mental, call it demonic, call it what you want, but Jesus is the answer for all of it. Hallelujah. And when we get so caught up in debating and fussing over things that don't have no eternal purpose and no eternal value, my hope is not in Washington, D.C. My hope is not in the financial system of this world. My hope is in Jesus, on Christ and Christ alone. I say, come on, somebody, do you understand me? You hear these stories. I don't want to use trigger words or things Recently, a pastor who found himself stuck in a place. And in the moment, it was literally a short amount of time, in the moment that he felt like his life was over, he went and hid behind a building and took his life. Hid from everyone. That breaks my heart. And then we're going to spend our time on our soapbox. Are you hearing me? Again, there's a place and a time, and I'm not downplaying anything. My point is we got to get our focus and our purpose back. Jesus came for our eternal purpose. Do you know why Jesus died? To restore us back to God. To restore us back to the Father. And so, what the law isolated, Jesus reintegrated. What the law said was impossible, Jesus said, man, let's reverse it. Let's fulfill it. So if, hear me, Jesus didn't come to destroy the law, he came to fulfill it. So if that made her unclean, then let's bring the answer for purity. Let's bring the answer for what makes her clean. And that is Jesus. Are you hearing me? Amen. So he reversed the outcome of the law. Are you understanding me? Hallelujah. So now we don't have to pay the penalty for sin. Now we don't have to live up to, amen, expectations of holiness and righteousness and standards that are impossible for this flesh to achieve. But now we can walk in the justification of Jesus and the righteousness of his blood. And we can now enter into his presence, into his very presence, without reservation and without remedy, because we have been justified and redeemed, purified. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Now we don't have to meet the qualifications. Holiness is not earned. It's accepted. It's access. You enter into his holiness as you walk in relationship with him. This also reveals something about her faith. I'm about to bring this to an end. It also reveals something about her faith. Her faith was real, but it was wounded. Can you hear me? I'm telling you, the Spirit is speaking to somebody today. Her faith was real because she believed that he could heal her, but she didn't believe that she could be seen, that she could take peace. So her faith was real, but it was wounded. It trusted in Jesus' power, but not his welcome. It didn't trust in the love that he had for her. Are you hearing me? There's some of you that, it's not that you don't believe, it's just that you struggle that he loves you enough to finish it for you. So you have faith, and it's real, but it's wounded. We're starting a Bible study on Thursday, this coming Thursday, on faith. I forgot to mention that in the announcements. We finished up the one on the names of God, and we're going to start on faith this Thursday. So I encourage you to come. We're going to explore in the context of Hebrews 11. But her faith was real, but it was wounded. She didn't trust his love for her. But he honored her faith, but he also expanded it. I couldn't call somebody. He did not leave her where she was. He did not leave her behind him. Are you hearing me? Praise God. He invited her out of invisibility and exclusion. He gave her an invitation. Who touched me? Who was it that touched me? We see that Jesus doesn't always let grace remain private. Sometimes he has to make it known. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Sometimes he'll interrupt our attempts to slip away healed but unchanged. Are you hearing me? In how we see ourselves. Come on. She was content and just slipping away. But in that moment, Jesus changed her whole perspective of herself. Daughter, go in peace. Thy faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. He sees us and he sees you. I've come by the unction of the Lord today to tell you, you are seen. No more hiding. No more feeling like you have to blend in. But if you'll make space, Jesus wants to meet you right where you are today. If you would see all, I couldn't even find it because I write dates and things when I preach out of chapters and verses. And I preach on this many times, I couldn't even find a place to write today's date. I had to seek for a little spot. Not always, I had a method to my madness, and the method to my madness wasn't working because I preached on this so many times in the pages. I can pull it out if I pull it the rest of the way. But God spoke this to me today to minister from this story in his word. So they get ready to come to the music. The presence, the glory of the Lord that has manifested in this sanctuary already this morning has come to make space for you. Because Jesus wants to expand your faith today. He wants you to know that you are seen. And should you be here today, and the condition of your mind has reached that place where you feel like the only answer is out, that no one would care whether you were even here or not, I want to speak to you today, and I want you to hear God says you're seen, and he values you. And it's not that you don't believe he's real, it's you don't trust his love for you. This woman learned to be unnoticed, unheard, and unseen. If she made attention to herself, she broke the law, and she affected anyone in her immediate space. But God's saying, push all of that away. I feel that in the Holy Ghost. Make space, because he sees you. You don't have to leave this place backing out, trying to be unseen, not be obvious. But he sees you. Stay with me across this place. Today, and you're lost, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I want to give you this invitation right now. I want to give you the opportunity to make a decision to say yes to Jesus. There'll be somebody pray with you. You say, I don't know how to pray. All you have to do is believe. Confess that. Confess you believe. Confess, speak that you believe that Jesus, that you're a sinner, and that Jesus died for your sins, and he rose from the grave to me, bring you back to the Father, so that you today want to give you that opportunity to come. Well, there might be some contemplating that decision. I'm going to talk to the one or to those, or maybe more than one, to any of you that this word resonated with you, that it was too real, too relevant, and that you say, I've learned to be unnoticed. I've learned that I'm not the one that gets the breakthrough. I'm not the one that gets the attention, and I don't mean this in a negative way, because we can carry that on the other side. But I'm talking about, I hear this in the spirit today. You say, I'm ready to make space. Jesus created space for her to come forward. Now's your opportunity to respond and to leave this place with God reversing, so that you don't want to be out of seeing come.